people kind of say, well, is this just a film about your family? It's like, no, this is a film about family.
On this special episode of the Marvel at Jesus podcast, Joel Smallbone of For King and Country, one of the biggest names in contemporary Christian music, joins us to talk about his upcoming film, Unsung Hero. He tells us the heart behind the film and how he saw the character of Jesus displayed, plus how he and his band brother Luke didn't get along when they were kids, and finally about their collaboration on an iconic 90s Christian song with the original writer. It's the Marvel at Jesus podcast from Life 90.5. Hi, this is Mandy with Life 90.5 and the Marvel at Jesus podcast. Super excited that joining me today is Joel Smallbone of For King and Country. Hey, Joel, how you doing?
Well, good day to you, Mandy.
Lovely to connect. Where are you joining us from today?
Nashville, Tennessee. Nashville, Tennessee. I'm actually at home today, which is a rarity during this season of life. So it's quite nice.
Well, y'all are on the road a lot, so I'm glad you're getting some time at home. And can I hear that Southern accent just one more time, though? Because that was nearly perfect.
Well, I just want to say I'm thrilled to be on this podcast this morning with Mandy, talking about movies and Jesus and music.
Yes. Oh, okay. You have made my day. Like, that was perfect. Okay. So before we talk about your movie, Unsung Hero, coming out in April, I do want to ask you a couple questions. This movie's a lot about, like, when you were a kid. So right. Think back to childhood for a moment. And when you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grow up?
Well, I don't know if this is an exciting answer or not, but I sort of wanted to be a musician.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I often say that music chose me more than even I chose music, because I grew up in and around music. A dad was a concert promoter in Australia, which is funny because right. The film sort of chronicles part of his story here. But so he would bring Stryper and Amy Grant and different people to Australia, to the Sydney Opera House. And so some of my first memories were like plugging my ears at rock shows or like studying vinyl 45 album covers. And so it's a little bit of a pinch yourself moment now when you fast forward and you get to do this not only as a hobby, but you make a life out of it. It's quite astounding.
Well, that's a lot better than me. I had a giant list of things I thought I wanted to be and ended up in radio, and I'm not complaining about it. But no, that's
was
really
radio
cool.
Like anywhere on that list or no?
It showed up. Oh, my goodness. For me, it showed up when I was in high school. I had some family friends who were in radio. Okay. I'm like, that sounds kind of cool, like getting to play music that I love and getting to talk to people like Joel Smallbone. I mean, that sounds amazing to me. And then, you know, God worked it out so that I was able to do that. And that was really cool. And it's amazing to see how God worked it out for you, you know, as a kid wanting to do music. Mm. And obviously, like, y'all are one of the biggest names in contemporary Christian music right now. So that's fantastic. Now, another question. Between you and your brother Luke,
right?
I need to know who got into trouble the most as a kid.
Me.
You, for yeah. Sure.
Luke was like a mini-me Jesus Christ growing
for
up.
For reals.
Yeah, he had a bit of a stint where he just sort of pathologically lied for a bit. But other than that, he desperately wanted to do the right thing and still does. Like, I don't know if you're a study of the Enneagram, but he's like a 9 on the Enneagram, which is the peacemaker. And he, right. And I'm sort of the perfectionist, the driver, the you know, the performer. And so it actually, all the things, we didn't get along growing up very well. Because he's
really?
The younger brother, he got taller, he became a better sportsman.
Mm.
All the things that younger brothers shouldn't do, he did.
Correct, yes.
And was very upsetting to me. And it was really music that brought us back together in a kind of magical, you know, providential way. And now we're sort of thick as thieves. And all the things that bugged us growing up are the very things that we find really fascinating and endearing now.
I love that. Now what yeah. kind of trouble did you get into?
It was pretty like low key trouble compared to what a teenager can get into.
Right.
You know? It mm-hmm. was kind of Christian homeschooler trouble.
Yes.
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I got sent back, speaking of Australia, got sent back to Australia with my older brother, Ben, when I was 16 and he was 18, because I was, don't take this as an offense because it was their words, not mine.
Okay.
But according to our parents, we were becoming too American.
That's fabulous. And that, okay.
Like, we cared about how we dressed too mm-hmm. much. We wanted to go to the movies with our friends. Like mm-hmm. Now, I did have a bit risque. I did have a girlfriend that my parents did not approve of, but she was part of the youth group, and she was just a bit older, and they didn't think it was a good idea. So, yeah, it was, again, it was Christian homeschooler sort of trouble.
That sounds about right, actually. I've actually spoken to your mom before on another interview. Miss mm-hmm. Helen is one of the sweetest people I think I've ever spoken to. Yeah. But
she's sweet until she's not.
I can kind of picture it, her definitely saying, nope, we need more Australian in these kids.
She has
the mom
thing. She still has that thing. She has 15 grandchildren with one on the way, and has that, like, nope, we're not doing that.
See. Right. I love her so much. That is so great. All right, so let's go on to talking about the movie coming out April the 26th called Unsung Hero. So, right. So Joel, what can you tell us about that movie? You've been working really hard on it for the last little bit.
We have. Well, I'll take you all the way back to the beginning, Mandy, since we've got time here. Luke and I have been telling this sort of our parents' origin story since we started as a band. As kind of a pay it forward idea, we share about it and really share about the fact that there are so many needy families and children around the world today. And if it weren't for people, the church, Americans stepping in the gap when we first moved, we wouldn't be here. So the film chronicles that time. It was, our dad was a concert promoter in Australia. He'd lost everything on a tour, and got offered a job in the States. So 6 kids, one on the way, 16 suitcases, mom and dad moved. And then when we arrived, he lost his job.
Ugh.
And the heart of the story is really kind of falls in that time frame. Our sister, Rebecca St. James, was just starting as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of tragedies, a lot of triumphs that took place inside this kind of 1 or 2 year period. We were very young at the time, but it's always been a miraculous, fantastic story. And so, as Luke puts it, you know, we were homeschooled. So people kept coming and saying, hey, you should write a book. And we said, well, we don't read and write very well, so we'll make a movie. and that's what we did. We started developing it in 2020 in the middle of the pandemic. And Luke produced it. I very self-indulgently co-wrote it. Play my dad in the film, which we've dubbed a sort of a very expensive therapy session. Co-directed it.
So, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, I was going to ask about that. What was it like? I mean, you had some acting experience, like you've done some stuff already, but what was it like playing your own father instead of some character that was made up or you didn't know? What was that like?
I mean, it was... everyone's all about the multiverse these days, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it was it was a very multiverse moment, because it was like, I am my dad, but,
mm-hmm.
and I'm looking at me as, but that's my son, but it's an actor, and you're kissing your mom, but it's like, it's just all very, it's all, but she's your wife. So it was a very multiverse moment, but in all seriousness, I was kind of magnificent at the same mm-hmm. time. And I would encourage anyone, if you have the opportunity to at very least, you know, walk through, put yourself in your parents' shoes, even if you can't play it out in a movie, particularly going back to the pinnacle, pivotal, traumatic times of their life, do it. Because I find we're often so lazy with each other, particularly with our parents. Mm-hmm. We're like, well, I don't know why you do this, mom and dad. Why you act this way? And it's like, well, hang on. They were born into a different time,
right?
Born into wars, and like they were born into a whole different world. And what it gave me was this great empathy that I'm embarrassed to say I didn't have for my dad until playing him in a film at this level, at least mm-hmm. for sure.
I think that's really interesting that like we don't really. We know our parents as our parents, and trying to get to know them more as just another person instead of the person who raised you and, you know, disciplined you and all the things.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And my dad went through some health stuff recently, and so we were kind of worried about him for a little bit, but getting to sit down and just chat with him as a person and get to talk to him about his life and ask him all these questions, like, I've just been too lazy to ask, you know. It just makes you really appreciate your parents all the more, for sure. So that's really fabulous.
And what's cool too about this film is, you know, people kind of say, well, is this just a film about your family? It's like, no, this is a film about family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a film about mums. We didn't just make this as a, you know, honor project for our parents. Yeah, sure, that was part of it. We made it because we feel like, you know, the greatest storyteller who ever lived, you know, Jesus Christ, modeled this idea of telling stories to inspire.
Yeah.
And so that's the real heartbeat behind it. And we're really proud, even just with the screenings. It's like, you see 18-year-old, 16-year-old girls, they just look at Rebecca and they go, she's the unsung hero. Mm-hmm. Or mums look at Helen and they go, she's the unsung hero. Or men, you know, husbands and fathers look at David, middle-aged men trying to navigate through life, and they go, you know, he's an unsung hero of sorts. And so it's a real cool, while it's really intimate as a story, it feels very broad in its appeal and application.
Yeah. Now, the story that you tell in Unsung Hero about your family, I mean, this is all stuff that happened years ago, you know, a long time ago. But but why do you think the story and the message is relevant for people in 2024 and beyond?
You're right. It is it's a 90s story. I mean, obviously it's a true story and different world in some ways than, particularly technologically. I think it's important because sometimes you have to look back to figure out where you're going.
Mm.
And number one, and number two, you'll find that the human story, while the environments have changed, the human story of struggle and hope and loss and love, you know, these great tenets of what it means to be human, you can drop into Pride and Prejudice, or you can drop into The Chosen, or you can drop into a 90s film in this case, and you can see these themes and these threads still playing out today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also there's a lot that is facing the family that 90s was a simpler time comparatively, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's something, again, in looking back, you can look back and go, wow, maybe we should be sitting around the dinner table singing Grace and talking. Or maybe, you know, I need to slow down a bit. But like these things that were very real to life in our childhood, maybe there's something. I know for me, I've learned a lot through it in looking back. Maybe there's something for the viewer as well in their life.
Well, I know as we read through the scriptures, we often learn about the character of God, right? But oftentimes, just kind of looking back through our own lives and our own histories, we get to see those threads of how God has done things throughout our lives and really showed his character in same character, but just showing it in a whole different way, a very personal, tangible way.
Right.
So as you think on your past and your family's past, and as you made this movie, is there some part of the character of Jesus that really just showed up in a big way for you?
Yes. And I say this very sensitively because I think we're very eager to focus on the really masculine attributes of God, you know, the conqueror and the hero. And yet Jesus, in Jesus' words, he says, I'm like a mother hen. I want to gather you under my wings. And the protector, God the nurturer and God the protector, which I think is a very key part of God and the Holy Spirit and so on, is something that I feel like our mom really deeply modeled for us. You know, everything about our lives as kids was very unsafe. We were on the other side of the world from our grandparents and our relatives. We were in a foreign land. You know, you guys speak a funny language. We financially were on the brink. We were sleeping on beds made out of clothes. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't know where the next meal was going to come from. We didn't have insurance. Mom, like, everything was unsafe. And yet the amount of safety we felt in our mom's love and in our dad's love was really, really profound. And so, yeah, I think the attribute of the nurturing nature of God is something that I it's funny, I've never been asked that, Mandy, but it's something that I really feel like shines through in the film.
I love that. And I can't wait to see that character of God on display in the film too. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously your story is great and everything. But pointing to Jesus, I mean, that is,
yeah,
that's really, I mean, the ultimate goal of what you're doing is showing how great God is and all of that.
Well, it's so cool because it's like, it's all pointing back, right? Mm-hmm. Like the good and the bad and the ugly, it's all in its own strange way an expression of either the absence of God's goodness or the flow of God's goodness. And what's great about this story is that it feels like you really got to, it's not a pretty story in some ways, you know, it's still a family film, no doubt, but we didn't shy away from the realities of what Dad was wrestling through at the time and, you know, our own ego, our own pride, these sorts of things. But I actually felt by digging into those real human experiences of ego and pride, the things that tend to separate us from God, was part of what made the story so sort of vertical. It pointed to God so much more because we were mm-hmm. actually going into some of the heavy layers of darkness, you know.
So we can't just watch this movie and expect everything to be sugar-coated. I think oftentimes in Christian films we see a lot of things completely sugar-coated and not realistic in any way, but this is real.
Telling our own story was mm-hmm. it was like, hey, we're not going to hide behind our story. Like right. we sort of, you own your own story, if you will. So it's like, we're going to tell this thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of all warts and all. And yeah. I think we really did, you know, mom and dad, to the point that mom and dad were pretty uneasy about it at points.
Really?
But came to the place and have come to the place of seeing the importance of portraying these moments. And they've been very valiant, and particularly dad, in going, it's okay. Like you can share that. Yeah.
Well, what is just one thing that you hope people get out of watching Unsung Hero?
So many things, but April 26th is the release date. Like we mentioned, it's right. also our parents' 49th wedding anniversary.
Oh, congrats to them.
Yeah. So it's a Lionsgate, who's the distributor. They picked the date, and about a week later, I was on the phone with mom and she. I said, "Oh, they've picked the date, mom. It's April 26th." And she says, "Oh, you know, that's our wedding anniversary, right?"
Aww.
And I was like, "Yeah, that's why we did it."
Right.
But it was just this happy, the kind of. I mean, I'd call it a coincidence, but I think it was more providence that it sort of a film that really honors marriage and honors. The commitment of long-standing marriage, mm-hmm. that it would fall on their anniversary. I think, but if I had to pick one thing, we've dubbed the 26th Family Day. You know, you've got Mother's Day and Father's Day. We're creating our own holiday. April 26th is Family Day. And I think part of the reason we've done that is because really, we want people to be inspired to dig deeper into their family. There's a great quote that we, spoiler alert, that comes up at the end of the film. It's a Mother Teresa paraphrase. And she says, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family.
Oh.
And I think that's such a good summation of the story. Yeah.
I love that so much. Looking forward to seeing it on April the 26th. Now, one other question I have for you.
Yes.
We were very thrilled when For King and Country put out a new version of My Place in This World with Michael W. Smith.
Right.
Can I just tell you, that was the most fantastic thing I have ever heard. So what was it like doing that song and working with Michael W. Smith on it?
It's always a tricky business collaborating. You know, people asked a similar thing when we collaborated with Dolly Parton a few years back. And, mm-hmm. and the short answer is that was magical.
Right.
But Michael has been sort of a mainstay in so many of our lives, for our whole lives. And we're fortunate to live in the same town as him and his family. I'm fortunate to have grown up with his kids. And so we've always had that kind of cross connect. But there's something about taking what was, I think, one of the most defining songs of his career.
Mm-hmm.
That was written from a woman saying, hey, I'm a suicidal woman saying, I just can't seem to find my place in this world. And taking such a beloved song and reimagining it. I mean, it's sort of terrifying because you want to honor it. You want to honor him, but you want to put your own spin on it.
Right.
And we just had this moment. I remember in the recording, we were like, wouldn't it be amazing if Michael actually showed up on this track and sung the chorus that you've heard so many times, but sung it sort of an octave down in this sort of quieter moment.
Mm-hmm.
How cool would that be? And what I'm so proud of, Mandy, is sometimes in creativity you have an idea, and then in the reality and the idea are two very different things. But we had this idea of him singing that down chorus, and I've cried just when it hits. It's so mm-hmm. moving, if I dare say so myself. And so much of that is just him. You know, I feel like we were able to encapsulate the heart of, modernize it, sure, give it a King & Country flair, sure. But really just encapsulate the beauty of what he and Amy Grant, who was a co-writer on it, and so on, what they captured in the early 90s. So it was marvelous. It was mm-hmm. marvelous. And he's great. Like, he's so excited about it, which is so humbling to us. So he's like right. sending these texts. Like, there would be a quote that someone puts out, like ABC Radio put out a quote the other day that was like, you know, a thrill indeed or something like that. And he took a picture of it and was like, it is a thrill, you know?
Right.
So it's just cool to see someone at that age who's had so much success still be sort of childlike in, mm-hmm. in it as well. Yeah. Great experience.
Well, you took that 90s song and just breathed some new life into it. We've actually played it some on our radio station, and listeners are just eating it up, just loving it. Not that. Only the nostalgic people like me who remember it, but also just new people being introduced to the song. It's like, this is just so good. So thank you for making that effort. And thank you for bringing this 90s story of your family to film in Unsung Hero, releasing April the 26th. So where can people find out more about Unsung Hero?
Hopefully you're just getting bombarded with it right now.
Right.
But you can go to unsunghero-movie.com. Anywhere on our For King & Country platforms, you'll find a way through to it. You can find it through Lionsgate. You can find it through Kingdom Story Company. There's a lot of great avenues. But yeah, just search Unsung Hero. Hopefully it should be the first thing that
there
pops
you go.
Up. You know.
Well, thank you for joining me today so much. Like, this has been a great conversation, and we look forward to seeing the movie and everything else that you guys bring with For King & Country. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mandy.
Hey, if you enjoyed this episode of the Marvel at Jesus podcast, go ahead and subscribe so you can get the next episode as soon as it comes out from Life 90.5.